Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yep, there we are, live and in color from Caribou, Maine. Who would believe that? Now listen, I want to caution you here a little bit this morning. I ain't got great confidence in this internet, all right? I don't have a lot of confidence in it. In fact, I'm on my phone again today. I couldn't get on my computer. I couldn't find the internet on my computer. I was lucky enough to find it on the phone. And Jared is a, what do they call that? Jared is like one of those perfectionists, right? He is high on his craft. And I want everyone to know right now that Jared said, Coach, the video's not real good. The video's not real good. So listen, it's not Jared's fault, okay? It's this crappy internet that we have. I'm doing it on my phone, surrounded by a group of guys here at Rose's Pizza, or where is that? I don't know where we are. Reno's Pizza. We're at somebody's pizza here in Caribou, Maine. The snow is up to the top of the hood of the car. It's 10 below zero, but other than that, it's just great to be alive. So thanks for bearing with us. And I really need your help this morning. I can't see anybody in the queue. I don't know if anybody's in here. The video seems to be working okay. The audio is great. And just honored that you would join us here this morning. We had a great meeting last night. Before I fell asleep, you know, Michelle was, she said, mm-hmm. You know, that means she's not listening, right? We're in bed and I'm rattling off and she's, mm-hmm. So she wasn't really listening. But I was replaying a lot of things in my head last night as I was laying my head down before those visions of sugar plums began dancing in my head. And folks, listen, I just got to tell you something. We are in the midst of a leadership crisis like we have never seen, never, ever seen. I was talking with my new buddy Carl over here. They don't know how to spell up here. His last name is like D-A-M-P-F or something. Why would anybody spell their name like that? but they do. And I was having a conversation with Carl with a K. And all of a sudden the subject of Promise Keepers came up. Now, I beat up on them a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to beat up on them again. But as I drive up and down the roads here, I don't drive, as I ride with Bob Roy, who's made all this happen for us. God bless Bob. I look around, I look out the windows, and the conversation Carl and I were having about Promise Keepers and 2 million men going to Washington, D.C. And I'm sure there are some of you here who probably were probably one of the 2 million. You probably went there. And Carl, just in casual conversation, was saying, you know, we used to have a good Promise Keepers group up here, and we had it gone in four different cities, and yada, 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 yada. And I stuck my head and I looked out the window. Right behind me is a window. Bear with me. And so I said, look, hey, Carl. Those guys are still out there. Where are they? Because I can tell you the truth. They're not in church. And as I'm sitting there and I'm just pondering the situation I'm in, and I saw the heart of these sweet people last night in the church that we were in. Give me the name, Pastor. What's the name? What's the name of the church?
Parker Road Intervention.
He speaks like he's from, I can't understand his English.
Parson Road Intervention Church.
Parson Road Intervention Church. Sorry. Just telling you the truth. I got guys around here. We're having a good time. They were sweet, sweet people. And you know what? They're sick and tired of what's happening in this country. They're sick of it. But nobody seems to know what to do. Nobody seems to be impacted. Hey, guys, listen, I know this sounds like the same message over and over. My wife says that to me sometimes. Honey, that's the same show you did yesterday. I get it. I know I get it. But it is so critical. Where is our leadership? Now, Carl, the dump guy over here said to me, listen, damp. Why would anybody spell a name, put that F on the end of that name?
Trump.
Yeah, Trump did. So we're going to walk down the street here. Carl's idea. We're going to go right down the street, Mike Heath, and we're going to visit Susan Collins' office, Senator Susan Collins' office. And we're going to go in there, and we're going to Facebook it live, and I'm going to, right in front of the whole world, I'm going to ask her. She won't be there, of course. She'd be all spending her money someplace, I imagine. But I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to ask the representatives in Susan Collins, Senator Susan Collins' office, which side is she on? Which team are you on? See, I get mad here in the state of Ohio that we've got Rob Portman as our senator. Oh, Rob Portman started gay marriage in Ohio, by the way. Rob Portman, Senator Rob Portman, and we have Senator Sherrod Brown. One's a Republican and one's a Democrat. And why is Sherrod Brown, isn't he the Democrat? Isn't his job to represent all of us? Or is his job just to represent the Democrats? Because he thinks his job is to represent the Democrats. And so we're going to find out which side Susan Collins is on. I'm going to try to pin her down. So what are you saying, Coach? I'm saying the same thing. We don't have any leadership. Something like this is so simple to do. And could be so powerful. But we don't have any leadership. So I want to ask you out there, guys, as we come on here so often and you know, we may run my big chops. What's a plan? Right where you are, right where I am, Caribou, Maine, right here for Carl B, and the pastor who can't speak English. What do we do? What do we do? Practically, what do we do? Because we've been taught to do what? We've been taught to look to Washington, D.C. We've been taught to look wherever. But right where you are in your sphere of influence, what can we do? Now, I want to open it up. And I don't want you to tell me about who's not blocking, okay? I don't want to hear from you say, well, we would do better if this guy was just doing this and if this guy was just doing that. Well, he ain't doing it. What about you? What is a plan that we together can articulate that we can impact the world? Because I happen to be crazy enough to think we still can. Somebody come on in here. Help me out. Got a plan? Because without a plan, failing to plan is planning to fail. And we don't have much of a plan. No leadership, no plan. Come on, your turn. Somebody step in here.
I've had some ideas on that situation.
Give them to me.
I've heard it say that the veterans are demanding our government follow the law and arrest the people that needs arrested. You can't say it ain't done because it's right in national TV. Mm-hmm. It's proven. You know what I mean?
How do we go about that? How do we go about arresting Susan Collins? How would we do that? We're clearly violation of her oath. Where's Jack when I need him? How do we do this, right? Where's Barney Fife? Citizens arrest. That was Gomer, wasn't it? Citizens arrest. Why are we so helpless? Hang on a minute. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same spirit that overthrew that Pharisaical, Sadduceical system, that same spirit is alive in us. Why are we so helpless? I'm listening.
Well, thank God.
Because nobody wants to stand up. Everybody's so afraid they're going to have any some things taken from them.
Well, I'm standing up.
Who cares what's taking from
them? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't stand up, they're taking it all anyway.
Exactly. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, the institutional church and most Christians are led by the spirit of this age, not by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, the spirit of truth, to teach us truth and teach us to abide in truth. And unfortunately, most Christians and churches especially have forsaken the truth and forsaken justice and forsaken the Great Commission.
That's right. Let me ask you guys a question. Right now, in your own life, I want you to think about this. You don't have to answer. Could you name a brave man? I'm gonna wait a second. Do you know any brave men? Because I read somewhere a quote, I can't remember where it was, and it said, I used it yesterday, and it's this: the rarest and most noble form of courage is moral courage. Moral courage makes even the most brutish of men understand that this man is somehow more than a man. Do you know one? Do you know a brave man? Do you know someone that you look at and you say, that dude has got some courage? That dude is a stand-up guy. Do you know one like that? Anybody know one? Don't say you, Coach. Don't. Do you know one? Where you live, do you know one?
I know one.
Who?
I've always felt Norm Emmett is very close to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Now, we all on the queue to know Norm. But I've always looked up to him as a man that I saw balance and fire. I think maybe the only limit sometimes Norm is in all that he's doing. But Norm Emmett to me, I think, is very close. But he's never going to be on the front page of a paper, most likely.
He's not. Folks, in your life, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, do I have to say that? Do I have to say it? Ugh! All right, I will. Name a brave pastor that you know. I'll wait.
Dale. I know one in Savannah, Tennessee, who is getting about 8 pastors together to pray and take a stand for Christ in the city. So there are a few out there.
Robert, listen. I love you to death. All right, listen, folks, are you looking at me? Are you listening to me here? You ready? I'm going to zoom in here, man. Leading prayer meetings isn't bravery. Sorry, that ain't bravery. But it passes as bravery today. Passes that. Come on. Anybody out there? Brave men? Can you name a brave? Wait a minute. Let me give you another one. Can you name a brave Christian man in the nation? Can you name a brave one? Don't say Franklin Graham. Don't say that, because he's had a national ministry and they're still killing babies. All right, so don't name him. Although he may be as close as some. I got one for you. Flip Benham's a brave man. That's a brave man.
I think Rusty Thomas fits that bill.
Rusty Thomas is a brave man. Yeah, he's a brave man.
I think Dale Socha fits that bill.
Dale Socha's a brave man. But Larry, he don't live where you live, does he? The original question was, I'm not smacking you, Larry. The original question is, do you know one where you live? Do you know one?
Pastor Bill.
Pastor Bill's a brave man. Remember, the rarest and most noble form of courage is moral courage. It makes even the most brutish of men understand that this man is somehow more than a man. Meaning what? There's something inside that guy that you just don't see every day. Now, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, if Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit resides inside, was Jesus a brave guy? Did Jesus cower? Did the Apostle Paul cower? No. In fact, yesterday we were driving through, what was the name of that town? Hey, car with a K, Dumpy? Mars Hill, right? There's a Mars Hill. Mars Hill. I drove through Mars Hill, Maine yesterday. And what happened to Mars Hill? Does anybody remember what happened to Mars Hill? Some pretty bold guy stood up and read him the riot act, didn't he? Huh? Didn't he? So it was easy for me last night to stand inside the church and be brave and bold inside the church. Shakespeare called that full of sound and fury, signifying nothing, because my words didn't go outside that building. It's one thing for me to do it behind that pulpit inside that building. It's another thing to go to Susan Collins' office and do it.
Dave?
Yeah, Roger?
That's the pastor safe zone. There are many pastors who are bold and courageous on Sunday morning in the church, but that's the safe zone. There are not a lot of bold and courageous pretending.
Roger's breaking up. It might be on my end.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a cafe a month or so ago, and I was sitting there, and I was looking around at the people, just a bunch of good people probably, dumbed down.
Good people, yes.
Yeah, Coach, and I that's what hit me. And this was from the Holy Spirit, I tell you, because I see this day coming. He said, will you get up and stand up and make a proclamation right here today if I ask you to? And I thought about it for a minute. And I thought, what would I say? And I thought, I'll do it. I couldn't do that 6 months ago or a year ago, Coach. But today, I believe God is raising up people that will be bold and will do what has to be done.
I'm a kid. Randy. Hey, Randy, let me ask you a very simple question here. What do leaders do? Somebody explain that to anybody out there? What do leaders do?
Well, leaders inspire others to go out and make action.
So they lead.
Lead.
So, unique.
That's right. And so they also cause people to elevate their own game.
Oh, amazing, huh? Amazing. And would you say that most leaders, most really true leaders, they're brave men. I had somebody say last night, we had a really, really busy day. And again, Bob Roy did this, and Jack did a great job of organizing everything. I said to him last night, somebody mentioned the fact that they were afraid, or people were fear, whatever. I don't remember how. And I just kind of took off my hat and scratched my head. I said, why do you need courage if you're not afraid? If you don't need courage if it's not dangerous. You don't need courage if it's safe. You need courage when you are stepping into enemy territory. And most people won't do that. How do you say, oh, give me courage? Dudes, give you courage. The Holy Spirit's in you. Open your mouth. Speak. Let that lion roar. Come Amen. On, man. And because we don't, what do we know? Our silence is permission. We're going to go knock on Susan Collins' door down the street. Let her know. We ain't with her. We ain't with you, Susan. You can play that game all you want to. Yeah, we ain't with you. Right? Mike Heath. It's an election year. Hey, Mike Heath. Mike Heath, who I think Mike's in here this morning. Mike, who spent years and years and years doing exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you, Lord. Going to the passive leadership in Maine and trying to get them to rise up. And who was Mike's greatest opposition? Where did your greatest opposition come, Mike? Was it from the homos? Was it from the sodomites down in Boston? Where did your greatest opposition
started? The greatest opposition started with the Republicans, and then as the media decided that they were going to have to make sure that I and the Christian Civic League of Maine was stopped on the issue of sodomy, it became the pastors. pastors.
Why do you think? Why do you think that was, Mike? Because listen, I believe they're good men. I believe they're good men. But I said last night, at the church last night, the church at Cumberland Road or something like that. I can't remember the name of it was. I said in there last night. Pardon me a minute. But look out the door. Is Christ winning or losing? Well, I know we win in the end. Is he winning or losing? No, just a second, pastors. I know you want to win. I know. I know you want to be godly Christian men. I know. But pastor, your people are going to be a prey. Your people, we're getting eaten alive. They're taking prisoners of war every day. What we're doing isn't working. I made this comment to Bob Roy. I wrote up with him today, Bob Roy. And I heard David Arthur last night, powerful last night. I heard Hal last night. I spoke last night. You know what? I think there are two pastors there. Pastor Matt, who's the active pastor, and the retired pastor. Who wasn't a pastor from any other church? Oh, nobody else would ever come to a Pentecostal church. Right? And so we ask ourselves, why can't we win? Why can't we win? And then what happens? A brave man like Mike Heath rises up outside of the church structure. And who shoots at him? I hate to, right? Right? So what do we do with it, man? What do we do? Of course, any veterans in here? You guys in war? Anybody? Were you in Vietnam or something?
No, I was in Germany, guided missiles.
You guided missiles in Germany. So were you ever shot at? No, he just had a soft job. He went. Some of those guys are out there storming Normandy, storming up the hill, Normandy, right? Now, I don't know what you think. I'd be wetting my pants. I bet a lot of them did that. And when that door dropped for those guys to get out of that boat, the 17 and 18 and 19 and 20-year-old guys had to get out of that boat and run into the face of that fire. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And we have leaders today that can't take criticism from Sister Sarah sitting on the second row. What are we going to do? So Promise Keepers is coming back.
Coach, really? Promise Keepers wanted to be a cause, but they wasn't willing to lay down their life. They wasn't willing to bleed. No, we're not willing to bleed. There has to be blood, Coach.
Got to be blood.
Eventually, there has to be blood.
By the way, Randy, in the war that Jesus fought, he shed some, didn't he? Hey, listen. He didn't lead a bloodless coup. He led a blood-drenched coup, did he?
Coach, in Ephesians 6, everybody loves the scripture, put on the armor of God, talks about all the armor. Then you get down to the last verse in it, verse 20, and it says this, For which I am an ambassador in chains. Why? Why? Here's the reason, Coach. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's the whole purpose of putting on the armor, Coach.
So, Randy, evidently speaking boldly requires courage.
Hey, Coach. The armor doesn't make us bold. It prepares us to be bold. We have to do that.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Coach. Yeah.
Hey, Dale.
That first off is correct theology. It's not that we win in the end. He wins in the end. We might not, depending. And what Randy was quoting out of Ephesians, it's just the little words that really can be the stumbling block for the believer in a false dichotomy of thinking. It says, put on the armor of God that you may. It doesn't say that you will. And what Randy just read, it says that you may. It doesn't say that you will.
That you may stand in the evil day. It doesn't say you will. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand in the evil day. It's a choice. Huh? And you may get knocked down.
The armor enables you to do it, but you have to decide to do it.
That's right.
Look what the Democrats are throwing against Trump. Presumption, maybe, I thought. This is the same thing. I thought I was going to win in the end, but the scripture says many will fall away in that last day. It doesn't say that many might fall away. It says that many will fall away.
By the way, that's one of the bravest men I've ever seen, Donald Trump. It's one of the bravest men I've ever seen. Revelation 21:8, I think. Can you pull that up there real quick, Jared? And again,
that's a knife cutter, Coach.
It is a knife cutter. And Pastor okay. Dale, because I can't see my screen, Dale, after Chad goes, read Revelation 21:8 for me. Would you please? Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to remind us, see, Christ, he shed his blood because, see, blood is currency. And so when he says he paid.
Mm-hmm.
He paid with blood because in the spirit realm, that's currency.
Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, right? So what does remission mean? He paid our debt. Don't we hear that? How did he pay our debt? He paid it in blood, right? What is the enemy? What are the Wiccans and the witches and the Planned Parenthood folks? What are they doing? Well, they're consuming blood because there's something powerful in that blood, in that shedding of blood, right? Revelation 21:8, Pastor Dale, can you read that? Can you read that for me real quick?
Let's go to verse 7 and get the whole context.
Okay,
he who overcomes, in other words, now, not what will come, he who will overcome will inherit these things. In other words, amen. You haven't inherited them unless you overcome.
Amen.
That he will be the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8, though, and here's the separation of the two. I firmly believe this. But for the cowardly and, so now there's a whole separation of people, the unbelieving. So we have unbelievers. The first one are those professing, but shrinking back in their coward, fearful state. But for the unbelieving, the cowards first.
Cowards go first. In fact, God is more mad at the cowards than he is the unbelieving. And Dale, I don't have this scripture in front of me, but doesn't go on to say homosexuals. And what else does it say, Dale? By the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go on. We know who's leading the parade, right? The parade's being led by who? The fearful and the unbelieving, the cowards, and those who don't believe that they're leading it. Who else is in that parade?
Then it begins to describe the unbelievers, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral person, the sorcerers, the idolaters.
Dale, who's the drum major again? Who's the guy out in front of this parade with his big drum? Huh?
The cowardly.
Man, oh man. Hey guys, when you take on the nature of Christ, listen, can you take on the nature? Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you take on the nature of God and be a coward? If you are cowardly, do you have that Holy Spirit in you? Go ahead.
And Coach, it says that judgment begins where? At the house of the Lord. What is it going to find there? The cowards. When you read in the gospel, it says, and I will send my four angels from the four corners of the earth. And what are they going to do? They're going to gather out those wicked ones first. Those are the cowards.
I'm sorry I brought this up. I'm sorry this isn't happy dance, glad face, happy day. It's just the truth. How can I was so moved by that again last night. Those people in that room love Jesus. They're sick of what's going on. But you know what? We feel so helpless. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not pat me on the back. Courage ran through that building last night. There was a flood of courage that ran through that. Now, a pep talk lasts just long enough. You can give your boys a pep talk in the locker room, and it lasts until you get out on the field and you run down and somebody knocks your helmet off. That's when your courage really shows up, right? Because you can run on emotion. You can do all that stuff. But real courage shows up as the battle rages. In fact, the deeper into the battle, the greater the courage it takes to continue on. But most of us are trapped right at the front door. We won't walk through that door. We won't go through that door of fear. We're afraid of what's on the other side of it. Fear is conquered by courage. Go, Dale.
Yeah, as a glimpse of hope about Donald Trump. Once again, my greatest argument that I have with many of these crazy people is that I didn't vote for him. I'd pull the lever for him today because I was sick of what the Republicans were dishing out. But Donald Trump has birthed into the Republican Party an embryo. It's an embryo, brother, of a spine. Now, it's just starting to see a little glimmer of people who are willing to stand up now because they're seeing somebody just like David who was willing to engage on the battlefield. And when David dilapidated down Goliath and took off his head, then the Israelites arose and the Philistines fled.
Now, wait a minute, Dale. If you go back and you read the story of David and Goliath, it tells you this, that the men hid themselves. They hid themselves. They saw Goliath and they hid themselves in rocks and caves and crevices. That's what it says. It's in 1 Samuel, somewhere in there, talks about that. And then when David went out and he slung that rock and he dropped that dude, he cut off his head. What happened next? Well, the bandwagon started. They all came running. They all came running out of there. They all had their flags waving then, right? So sometimes we just need slingers. Sometimes we just need rock slingers to encourage other people. You got to overcome fear. Go ahead.
There's over 100,000 people at his last rally.
Donald Trump's last rally. You know why?
Over 100,000.
Joseph.
In New Jersey.
New Jersey.
You guys better hear me.
They said 26% of them were Democrats.
Nothing is as contagious as courage. Nothing that I've ever seen. Courage inspires the cowardly to come aboard. Courage does. When you see somebody step out and do something, there's something that happens inside of you that says, I can't let him stand alone. I can't let that happen. And so we have within us this courage and this ability to stand up and make a difference. And I come back to where I started. We ain't got no leaders. We don't have anybody to lead.
Well, Coach, I think some part of it is they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter denied Jesus and hid himself.
Yeah,
but then Acts 4:8, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:12, he nailed the religious people, boldly proclaiming Jesus as the only way. You know, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but the power, love, and sound mind. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, we'll overcome.
Amen.
As Pastor said, we'll be bold.
The tribe of Judah, Coach, the tribe of Judah was the lion, okay, the lion. Jesus came from that tribe. Caleb came from that tribe. Caleb is a type of the Holy Spirit. This Robert's talking about. So, Coach, if we're filled with the Spirit, we ought to be a lion.
Oh, Randy. Listen, it's like I used to hear people say at the Christian school where I coached, I would hear the leadership tell the young men, act like Christians. Come on, boys, act like Christians. I said, oh, gee, great. Where's that class? Where do I go to my act like Christian class? Anybody know where that would be? Because it comes back to what we've been talking about a lot. Our Christian identity. Who are we in Christ? Who are we in Christ? And who is the resistance to the darkness here on this earth? Who is it? Who's the one to stand up? Who are we? Church, what politician are you counting on to end abortion? What politician is going to, which one is it? Huh? Where's that hero? Hey, church, which politician are you waiting on to end the drag queen story hour at your local library? Which politician are you waiting on to do that? And why did we ever get to the point, or how did we ever get to the point in America where we think it's their job? Why do we want Donald Trump to end abortion when the average pulpit never says anything about it? Oh, maybe on Sanctity of Life Sunday, as if there's no Sanctity of Life, as if there's just one Sanctity of Life Sunday, just one. Or as I said, the 47th annual March for Life. How pathetic is that? They put annual on it because they know there's going to be one next year, too. It'll be the 48th annual March for Life. Why? Boys, one reason. Courage. Courage. Nobody willing to do what really has to be done. So that's part of what it started out on today. What's our plan? Because if we're going to win a war against a committed foe, they ain't just throwing down their guns. They're not just going to throw down their swords. We're at war.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, Coach, what you're talking about is you're talking about elected officials. And what are they supposed to be? They're supposed to be public servants. What does a servant do? A servant listens to the master. They have to be told what to do.
A servant listens to the master. He follows orders, right?
Correct.
Well, what's our commander-in-chief saying? What is he saying? What has he told us? As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, what is our commanding chief's orders? Now, hang on. We don't know what that is. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. Love thy neighbor. So we're going to build a church on that. And you can't, you know, you can go to a guy who's got a church gone and you say, well, listen, we're doing what the gospel says. We're loving the neighbors. We got a food pantry. We're helping them. Well, yeah. But folks, that's like me being a dad and saying to my wife, well, listen, honey, I'll provide for the family. But you do the spanking and you do the dressing and you do the butt wiping. But I'm doing what it says. It says right here that I got to provide for my family. So, scripturally, I'm doing it. I'm providing for my family. But the job description is much broader than that, folks. It's much more broad than that. And we get trapped into little segments of this is what we're called to do. Really? So, in other words, you're called to run a food pantry, and I'm called to go to Susan Collins' office? That's a great trade. Thanks. How does that work? How did I draw the short stick? Right? It's a whole perspective. It's all of these things. It's not just this or this. It's all of it. All of it. Oh, man. Hey, listen, folks. Is Jesus just your prayer answer? Is that his job description? He just answers prayers. Well, that's not the coach. That's not the Jesus I pray to. Oh, really? Yeah, you better check who you're praying to, because he's complete in every area. He was the bravest man to ever live. Ever live. And why does it take bravery again? Because it takes bravery to confront wickedness. It takes bravery. The Clintons, when we went to Hillary's house, I told you this before, what did people say? Oh, they're after you now. Well, you better be careful now. Right? Or how about this one? I come up here to, where am I? Caribou, Maine. I come up here to Caribou, Maine. Do you have any idea how many people said, oh, you better not go. That virus is going to get you. That coronavirus is going to get you. So really? So I'm going to stay home, be safe, and drop dead of a heart attack while I'm watching TV, right? My life's in the Lord's hands. So's yours, right? So's yours. And I'm going to tell you, as a coach, the last thing I'm going to do is not protect my best player. You missed that. If you've got a great quarterback, you're going to put great blockers around him. If you have a great quarterback and you ain't got no blockers, he ain't going to be a quarterback very long. So in this perspective of Christianity and the Christian man, we've got to stop isolating our gift. This is what I do. This is all I do. This, the Lord hadn't called me to do that. Really? Okay. Come on in. David Arthur came by. He brought me a hymn here. Let's see. Dave, where'd you find it?
So I was listening to this morning on the way here, and I was like, well, couldn't wait to get in here and show you the lyrics. And I come in and you're talking about cowards.
No coward soldier. It's on David's phone here. No coward soldier. God don't want no. He don't want no coward soldiers.
He don't want no coward soldiers in his band, And God don't want no, he don't want no coward soldiers. He don't want no coward soldiers in his band. Wow. Keep so busy running for Jesus. I'm not tired yet. No, no, I'm not tired. No, I'm not tired yet. Why? Because God don't want no coward soldiers. God don't want no coward soldiers in his band. Huh?
I ain't in no ways tired from.
Hey, who goes first? Who goes first? Dave. Again? Yep, yep.
Dave, I'm just going to say that what kind of came to me was, if you're a coward, you probably ain't going to be in God's army.
How about that? If you're a coward, you're probably not in the army. You're probably in the hospital, right? You're back there being a wet nurse.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I've had more conversations with this guy running for sheriff here in Knox County, and he is no coward. This boy, I had conversations the last 2 weeks. Talked to him yesterday. He's doing a get-together on Saturday at a public event here in Mount Vernon. And even his campaign manager said, oh, don't say that stuff. Don't say. And he told me what he's got laid out. It's all on our God-given rights, the Constitution, our liberty, the Bill of Rights, the guns, and how he's going to stand up for the American people, the Knox County people, and no one is above the law. He's not going to do anything political for himself. He's going to hammer this message. Tell him you don't say it. I said, brother, you say it. Bring forth the truth. So we're going to go down, and hopefully if he encourages some men, I'm going to take some names. We're going to find the men that's in this crowd and then hold their feet to the fire. And he's going to clear the night to come over Tuesday night to church in the garage. He's going to make sure he can do it. I'm going to get back with Robert. Robert's traveling over. Pastor Bill will be there. And if you're in town, we'll have you come up. We're going to encourage this man running for sheriff because he is the real deal.
Amen. Well, we need men. We need them, men. We need them to step forward. Listen, I've rambled on here pretty good for 30, 35 minutes, whatever. Do me a favor.
Coach, when somebody
tell me where I'm wrong. So please, somebody tell me where I'm wrong.
Coach, you're right on. You're right on. You're stirring us up to bring the leaders to step up. Coach, when David was, when he went to the battle, he was a servant. He went taking food. All he was just a servant. He was bringing the food to him.
That's right. He was
doing, Coach. He's bringing, Jesus said, he that's greatest among you, let him be servant of all. Mm-hmm. If you have that heart, God's going to raise you up. You will be a leader eventually. You will be one of those old lions eventually. Maybe not today, but that's where you have to start, Coach. So, David, he went there as a servant. What did he do? He became the leader in that moment.
Yeah, because he said what? Randy, by the way, that's a great point. David started out as just this little servant. He was bringing food or whatever to him. And he happens to pop up on the top of the hill, and he sees Goliath. And he hears what Goliath's saying. And what does David do? He says, dude, who is that guy? Who is that guy talking to us like that? In fact, David said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? Stay with me. Who would defy the armies of the Lord? He didn't say, who's that guy talking to God? Who's that guy denying God? He said, no, no. He says, who's that uncircumcised Philistine talking to y'all like that? David said, anybody going to do something about this? What? You guys going to let that dude keep talking like that? And then his brothers turned to him and said, oh, yeah? Well, where have you been? You ain't been doing, you just some little delivery boy. And David said, okay, let me tell you something. He said, I was down there one time. I was taking care of my daddy's sheep. Ooh, that'll preach. I was taking care of my daddy's sheep. Along came a bear. You know what I did? I grabbed that guy, and I'd give him a whooping like he ain't never seen. And I protected the sheep, the flock. And there was another time I was out there, and along came a lion. It's in the Bible. Read it. And David said, I grabbed that sucker by the beard, and I sucker punched him. And he said, I'm going to tell y'all. The same God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, he's about to drop that dude as well. You watch. You watch. Because why? David had practiced courage.
Coach, I got a little quote. I don't know who said it, but I've written this down in my Bible after my prayer. And it says in here, we sometimes ask, what is man's destiny and faith that don't stand? I wonder who said that, Coach.
Who said that, Joseph?
You did.
Yeah. Listen, folks, listen. The Bible says that without faith. Can anybody finish it for me? It's impossible.
It's a little bit hard to yeah. Without faith, it becomes more difficult. No, it becomes impossible.
No, right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? Could you say without courage, it's impossible to please God? Because isn't courage just simply faith put in action? Isn't that really what courage is?
Amen.
So I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't have the answer, but I ain't putting up with it anymore. Isn't that the intertwining of faith and courage? I don't know what to do, but I'm going up there and I'm going to hit somebody. I don't have it all figured out, but I've had enough of it. And the Christian man hadn't had enough of it yet because we've been taught in church to accept it all. We win in the end. We win in the end, right? Oh, I feel like I'm redundant, but we just got to hammer this home. Hammer this home. Hammer it home. That's why, hear me now. That's why Jesus said to go out in pairs. Why? Because if I go out with Bob Roy and I get scared, Bob's going to say, come on, we can do it. Come on. Or I can go out with Bob Roy and I say, come on, Bob, let's do it. He says, no, we're going to get killed. I'm going to the car. So it matters who you hang around with. Courage is contagious. But Jesus said he set his face like flint. I'm going to go do that, and then nobody going to discourage me or dissuade me. I'm going to go do it. Now, what's our excuse? How much longer are we going to go beg Susan Collins to do what's right? How much longer?
I have a little table here.
This is the waitress came in. We got a good crowd here. Right where I am. Somebody come on. Anybody in here got something they want to say?
Faith doesn't beg. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. Faith works. Faith moves.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I'm doing four jobs at once here. Here, talk to this crazy Carl. Go ahead, Carl. Tell him what
that is. That Jesus is think that the Holy Spirit rises up strong within us and directs our steps, helps us to be all we can be for Him. And I tell you, we're so appreciative for Coach Dave coming north. A little cold for him, you know, he's used to that nice warm weather downstate. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we're going to be victorious. 2020 are going to change this whole nation because people are going to run up sick and tired. And good things.
Hey, listen, can somebody tell me this real quickly? Robert, get ready. I got to get David Arthur. I got Kurt. Listen, I'm listening. What does Jesus' call of retreat sound like? Anybody heard that? Can anybody tell me what that trumpet sounds like, that retreat one? Anybody heard that?
No such thing.
No such thing? Wow. No such thing. No such thing as retreat. Wow. Carl, I didn't mean to jerk that out of your hand over there. Carl, that's all right. That's all right.
That's the only thing
wrong to do. That's good. That's good. Anybody, come on. We got a few minutes, and I'm going to let Robert get in and do his reading. I wanted to get David Arthur on here. Let me say this. hang on. Just shut up there, man. This guy right here, Bob Roy. He's a silent assassin. He organized this whole thing. Hey, Bob, let me ask you something. Who's paying for this? Who's paying for these hotels? He just looked at me. He didn't say anything. He says, you know, Coach, I can't get up there and do what you can do. But I can open doors. I can make arrangements. I want you to know are just as important as anybody else in the battle. Nobody even knows who he is. The Lord knows, Bob.
Yes, that's right. He does.
The Lord knows.
He's a servant.
A silent assassin. He's more than a servant. Silent assassin. He's destroying the works of the devil, and most people don't even know he's doing it. He's up on top of the roof, popping people off, and they don't get it, right? He brings in the weapons and the artillery. He doesn't want any credit. He don't want anybody patting him on the back. He's just doing his job. God bless you, Bob. And more, there's a lot of Bobs watching right now. They say, Coach, I can't do it. I can't do what you do, Coach, but I can open the door. I can get a crowd together. I don't know how many meetings he's been to. 10, 12, I don't know, meetings everywhere. 5 guys here, 10 guys there, 11 guys here. I said, well, who did this? Well, Bob did. Bob put it together. Bob paid all the bills. Huh? Come on, man. Come on, man. Step up. Step up right where you are. Hey, Bob, how much money do you have with you?
Oh, you don't leave it. They'll blow it on popcorn or something, right? Right? Right?
And that's right. Robert, go ahead and I don't have your daily reading in front of me. Go ahead and pull it out here. I'll give it over to David here. Go ahead, Bob. Or go ahead, Bob. Robert. Are you there? Did I lose it? Did I lose y'all? Where did my soul? Hang on a minute. Now, listen, hang on. Another nut just walked in.
Another one. Jack.
Hmm? Man, this has been great. What a blessing.
You just made it happen, didn't you, Jack? I mean,
I didn't nothing.
Well, yes.
I didn't nothing. The unknown accomplice over here is the one that did it.
You mean the silent assassin?
The silent, yeah.
Assassin.
Yeah.
I just talked about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Right? So, do you know the story on him and what we call him next?
Go.
Okay, here's the deal. On the front page of the Bangor Daily, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, they called Bill Merletti, Wayne Leach, and the most radical of the bunch, Jack McCarthy, known domestic terrorists. Known on the paper. In the paper.
They called you known.
Oh, known domestic terrorists.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And the unknown accomplice, Bob Roy. Bob was the unknown accomplice.
He's like the Atlanta bomber.
He's always there. He's always there. He's always promoting. He's always encouraging. He's always starting trouble.
Hey, you ever had? Yes.
Glory.
See, listen. This battle takes all kinds. It takes loud mouths, right? It takes all kinds, right? We got to know our role. But I got to promise you this. Y'all got a role. And some of you ain't doing it. Some of you ain't picking up that plow. You're just not doing it, man. You're just not. Why? Fear, false humility. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. What can I? Well, Bob Roy said, he called me on the phone. Probably sitting right here. Hey, Coach, can you come out here? I said, yeah, you got something going on? Well, we'll get something going on. Can you come out here? Yeah, well, I sure am. Well, here we are. And we've had more of an impact out here. Just gone from men's group to men's group to men's group. I can't even tell you. I can't. Go ahead, Robert. I got to get you in here.
He was here on the radio.
Okay, yeah, today is pretty short. I like what you're saying, Coach. Basically, we need to resist. That Ephesians 6 says put on the armor, but we have to resist. We've got to resist, and that takes boldness. Okay, here we are, January 30th. It's, you ready for me to read it?
I'm ready. Go, man.
Okay.
Come on.
January 30th, it says, the man whose little sermon is repent sets himself against his age and will for the time being be battered mercilessly by the age whose moral tone he challenges. There is but one end for such a man, off with his head. You had better not try to preach repentance until you have pledged your head to heaven. That's called paying the price.
Say that last sentence again.
It says, you had better not try to preach repentance until you have pledged your head to heaven.
You better That's not Joseph cry Parker. For repentance great... until you've pledged your head to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
He's a great revivalist. No need to wait for revival when repentance is for now. This is a little bit about church schedule revivals, how they are. Uh-huh. Those affected by church schedule revivals usually return to their old ways, whereas those affected by true repentance move toward his new way.
Amen.
Revivals may remove sin temporarily. Repentance removes sins permanently. The Holy Spirit is hopefully present in revivals, but he is powerfully present in repentance. Personal revival will follow true repentance, but lasting repentance will not follow one seeking only revival. Repentance requires death to the old self. Revival often settles for a mere beating of the old self.
Wow.
The battered self always recovers and life goes on as it was. In repentance, the old self is buried and the life of Jesus lives on anew. While revivals can make one happy, repentance will make one holy. Isn't it time we start praying for the real thing and stop playing the church game? That's what we need. Repentance.
Robert, that's a good one, man. That's a good one for you.
So we are.
Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. Must not suffer loss from victory. Under victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Now listen, stay close, because after we get our bellies full and I get a little bit of courage in these guys' guts, we're going to Facebook Live our trip to Susan Collins. And we're going to call her on the carpet. But, I don't know if you guys know this or not. She works for me. I don't work for Susan Collins. She works for me. And we're just going to make that very clear today, right? Hey, God bless you.
That's Cooper versus Allen.
Cooper versus Allen. Who's he and where?
That's you as elected officials.
Oh, yeah. That's
only
right.
Work for us. You are only employees.
Yeah, that's right. They're employees. I should have had Carl on. I should have had David on. I had David come on in here. There's old Carl. He was on. Jack, we got a crew in here. Now we got to eat. Be praying for us. We're going to go knock, knock, knock on heaven's door here in a few. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.